O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Patience has never been my virtue. You remember that old marshmallow challenge that they did? You get one marshmallow now, or wait for 15 or 20 minutes and get another one. I was the kid that would eat the marshmallow right away. I didn't want to wait for more. But I have learned how to wait, and it is a learned skill. Now that I am 38 years old, I am able to wait for the second marshmallow, but I'm not always happy about it. It's not easy to wait. We are born not wanting to wait. Babies scream until their needs get met, and there is nothing like a screaming child to make a parent rush. Immediate gratification seems to be what we're born with, and patience the trait that we have to cultivate. Our prophet today is out of patience. Habakkuk was a prophet who is thought to have been active around 609 to 597 BCE, during the reign of Jehoiakim. The people of Israel were beginning to be taken into exile by the Babylonians during the first deportation. And the prophet addresses the question of unjust suffering and evil through a dialogue where the prophet speaks for the people and God responds. Habakkuk, in our passage for today, poses the question to God of patience. How long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? He is impatient with the way that the world looks around him. Why would God leave God's people in the midst of this pain and injustice? O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. When I first read this passage, I thought, wow, did he write this yesterday? When the news of more shootings, the rise of the opioid addiction, or more allegations of political corruption, sexual misconduct, of war, or widespread violence hits the news, we lament and cry, how long, O Lord, just like the prophet. It is so easy to look at the world and think that wicked is winning. Evidence really doesn't support much else. It is painful, this world, so much of the time. The prophets, all of them, Habakkuk as well, their words are meant to sustain and bring hope, to spur both the people and God to shape the world to look more like the promised world. But a promise is something you always have to wait for. I promise I'll be there to eat lunch with you, you might tell a friend in the morning. I promise for your birthday, you're going to get that really cool gift. I promise the pain of this treatment will end. I promise to love you in sickness and health. I promise there is still a vision for the world, says God. So we wait on this promise, but as the prophets remind us, our waiting for this promise demands action. Forceful waiting, like the sign at a Baptist church, Lord, give me patience, but make it snappy. We must continue to wear the wicked down with our patience and our hope, to stand at the watchtower like the prophet and wait for the promised vision, to return time and again to this place, to a place of consolation and comfort, to gain strength as we wait from people who have the same hope in the same vision as we do. For God has not left us alone on this journey of waiting. The community we have in this building, the community of saints, both living and dead, span the globe and stand watch with us as we impatiently wait for this promise. We come to this table and remember the promise that Jesus made to all of us, that all will be made new. We sustain ourselves with bread and fruit and go back to our watchtowers, our houses, our favorite places in the woods, our work, even a quiet place in our heart. And we say, "Here I am, God. I am waiting. I will keep watch and see where you are working, and I will join you there." We will lament the grief around us, trusting that someone is listening and will answer as we wait. We will not cover our heads and wail and doubt and lose ourselves in pessimism, but we will refuse to turn away from the grief that we see, demanding God reply, demanding God show us our part in the coming kingdom. Jesus himself was impatiently patient. Jesus called people to action within this time of waiting for the kingdom. We heard this in his exchange with Zacchaeus just this morning. Jesus told him to hurry down from there. "I must go to your house today." He was expediting grace. And his declaration, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost," hints at that already and not yet that we know of the kingdom, the present good news amidst the violence of the world. And when he said to Judas at the table, "Go and do what you intend to do," was he not doing his part to expedite God's salvation? Our Savior seems to want us to share in his impatient patience, to bear with one another in love, to watch for the completion of God's work on heaven as it is on earth, all the while boldly proclaiming that God's work will not be delayed, for God's salvation is at hand. Patience must be learned, but patient does not mean being passive. Patience is that tricky balance between hope and reality, of acting in the world but not controlling the world, of constantly coming back to this place where we are reminded through smiles, a handshake or a hug, scripture read, a creed recited, of bread and juice given, that we are not alone, and that God's vision might tarry, but it will not be late. Thanks be to God. Amen.